It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, and a proud sponsor of By the Yard Furniture, proudly sponsors this show every week. We appreciate that great family-run patio furniture maker down in Jordan. So, Denny Long here. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is by my side.
Hey, good morning,
good
everyone.
Good to see you. It's a hot one.
It's a blustery day. My car was going all over the road today.
The wind is already happening out there.
Yeah, it's blowing quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's going to be hot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend? By the way, this is our lawn and garden show. It's called Smart Garden.
FYI.
Yes. And if you have, we're already getting calls, as Julie knows, and text messages.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we had text messages 3 hours ago. People
early
getting
risers.
Ready for the show. Absolutely. We'll get to those for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they're first ones on my list here.
But boy, I don't know about your neighborhood, but we certainly could use some rain in ours.
Yeah, same with my neighborhood, too. In fact, that's true, I think, across the metro, at least. I think up north, they might have gotten a little bit of rain last week. My folks said the weather was really awesome. By the way, happy Father's Day tomorrow, Dad. Hope you're listening.
That's next week.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, you got a whole week to get your dad something.
I set the card already.
You did.
I'm ahead of schedule. Oh, well, happy
well,
Father's Day.
Well, your dad is that special.
Yeah. He needs two.
Early.
He needs two Father's Day.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's dry, so I'm really hoping that we get some of these predicted storms.
Yes, not bad ones.
Not bad storms.
Yeah.
Just some good steady rain would be terrific.
Excellent. All right. Should we put you to work now? Not that we don't like to do that anyway, but 651-989-9226 or text number is 81807. Let's pick up on some text messages.
Let's do those two that came in early. So actually, I have almost the same response for both of them.
Okay.
One is on roses, John Cabot rose that has many branches with shriveled leaves, mostly on the ends of these. No buds or blooms yet, 17-year-old plants. First year with no blooms by mid-June, help. And the second is actually about a maple tree that has black spots and dropping. Any idea what this might be? So the rose, because it's getting later in the season and there's no sign of life on these branches and the leaves are shriveling up, this might be a case, and same with the maple, is to actually send a sample into our plant disease clinic. Particularly because these are valuable plants. They're longtime roses and a mature tree. And when you have issues like that, the best thing to do is actually send a sample in. And you can go to PDC, Plant Disease Clinic, PDC, .umn.edu, and they'll give you all the instructions there. The other thing, too, is to send a photo into Ask Extension, and we can see if we can help. We can't really diagnose that on the air here, but those are – if you have a disease issue or a disease concern, those are two really good ways to get started in finding out what might be the problem.
Let's get that website again.
Oh, yeah, extension.umn.edu. You can click on the garden tab and go to Yard and Garden.
Excellent. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's see, Gary in Moundsview is first up here. Gary, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good.
Good. I have a 25-year-old maple tree that started about 3 years ago, getting that Verticillium
wilt.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's finally completed its process of totally dying.
Yep.
And my questions are, how soon do I need to cut that down? And also, what can I replace that nice maple tree with? And how far away from the stump do I need to plant it?
Oh, okay. Well, I think I would take it out pretty quick. And I don't know if there's a chance of it spreading necessarily through the soil or not. But I think I would contact a certified arborist to come in and take a look at how to remove that tree and then ask them a little bit. They can look at your site and assess the situation. You'll want to grind that stump out. There's a lot of roots that are going to show up and that are going to be degrading under soil. So yeah, I'd contact a certified arborist. Our extension site has a good publication called How to Hire a Certified Arborist, and that gives you some good questions and background and locations to contact to find one. So whenever you have a mature tree like that, whether you're taking it out or you have a problem with it, a certified arborist is a great way to go.
I agree. We're good. Susie is calling from Arden Hills this morning. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Danny. Good morning. Happy morning. Father's Day, everybody.
Wait a minute.
I've started a trend.
We're changing the date.
I had to say that. I have a question about two different plants, but the same type of question, and it's the trimming. Because of the weather, everything's going crazy, and all of my coral bells, different varieties, have had those blooms already with the spiky long things that I don't particularly care for, and I cut them back, and I've been told, oh, you're ruining the plant and shortening its life. I do it anyway. I'm wanting to know if I am ruining the plant and shortening its life. And the second part of that trimming question is, with my Arctic kiwi, it's a beautiful vine on an arbor, and it's just got all these spindly things going out. Can I cut those back, or should I reroute them?
I think, are the spindly things dead, or are they alive?
Oh, no, they're alive and moving. I have a mourning dove nest in that bush.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful morning.
Nice.
So, yeah, this is fun.
Well, I think with the coral bells, you can go ahead and trim those off if those flowers are done blooming or if you don't like the way they look. You're not going to degrade the vigor of the plant. Just there's not much green material on those extensions, on those spikes of flowers. Most people grow them for the flowers, but sometimes the colors aren't so great. It's mostly the foliage that we grow the heuchera for. And as far as the Arctic kiwi, we have an excellent publication on the kiwi, and I would take a look at that as to when you should prune. But I would reroute those at this point. We're early in the season, and I think I would reroute those back into the vine or into a different trellising area, whatever is convenient for you.
Thank you, Susie. By the way, Susie has a phenomenal landscaped yard.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
She's called many times.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
she's traveled with us, too.
She's a regular.
Yeah, yeah. Always had good taste.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Let's take a break, shall we? Let's do that. Julie is with us. Julie Wise and Orrin with us the rest of the hour. 651-989-9226. So send a text, and we'll get back to those, too, at 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Lawn and Garden show. It's called Smart Garden. We welcome your phone calls and text messages. And Julie Wisenhorn from the U of M, we have tons of both.
Yeah, awesome.
As you can see.
Awesome.
Did you want to pick up on a text or two before we head to the phone?
So I'm super happy about this. There's a certified arborist who texted in that Verticillium wilt is active in the soil. It could spread to a new tree. So the gentleman who called in about the maple that died from the Verticillium wilt, the certified arborist recommends that you need to plant a resistant species. So when you go to look for a new tree, make sure that it is resistant to Verticillium wilt. Now, resistance means that it's less likely that it's going to succumb to that. It's not immune to it. So you have to bear that in mind. But yes, thank you so much for texting in, certified arborist. That's awesome.
Good. Great. Back to the phones we go. Jan is calling from Roseville with a question. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So I have two questions. I have had a little patch of rhubarb for many years, and nothing ever bothers it. And this year, something came and ate off all the leaves. It's standing out there, the stalks just sitting there.
Wow.
I both eat rhubarb.
Wow. Boy, anything, it'd have to be something big like a deer, I would think, that would eat the rhubarb.
We have deer around here in Roseville, but I've seen their footprints right in the patch, and they've never bothered it.
Oh, you know, but sometimes deer will just, that might just be what they want, or they can't find something else that they're looking for. Yeah. That's all I could think. I mean, something that would eat the leaves completely off would have to be a very big animal.
You would think, yeah.
If they're kind of ragged on the ends where the animal chewed it off.
No, just the bare stalks are sticking up.
Right, yeah, so I'm guessing it would have to be that. Yeah.
Well,
it would have to be a deer.
And then quickly, if I may, what is the best fertilizer for rhubarb? I've put composted manure and things on. I get good leaves, but awfully skinny stalks.
Okay. Well, there isn't really a fertilizer for it, and it would depend on the soil that you are planting in. It could be that the plant is that you want to just use probably just a balanced, like a 10-10-10 type fertilizer. In fact, in other words, it has 10% nitrogen and the phosphorus and the potassium in it, just a balanced. You could look for a vegetable, also a vegetable type of fertilizer specific for that.
Okay.
Probably your local garden center can help you out with that.
I'm sure. All right, let's go to Brainerd, Minnesota. I think Brenda is waiting there. Go ahead, Brenda. Thank you.
Hi, Kevin and Cindy. Hi, Julie and Denny. Well. I have a shady area, and I want to put perennials in there, something that is not more than 3 feet high, but something like a hosta that I can't kill, because
okay.
I'll probably kill it, but colorful. Could you suggest anything that doesn't spread that I could put in there?
Well, if you like hosta, of course, there's many, many kinds of hosta. In fact, there's one. I have one in my yard called Red October, and it has red stems, which is a little bit of added color. There's also, of course, the variegated hosta. I like the big chartreuse colors. Those really show up in the dark. Also, there's some like hay cone grass, H-A-K-O-N-E, and that has that is a chartreuse grassy look to it. That's a cool plant. Actually, if you go up to a local garden center and take a look at their shade plants, those are probably all good options. Now, deer like all of those, so you'll have to protect them at least while they're getting larger. Or you maybe have a fenced-in yard that you can protect, you know, that are safe for the deer. So, but those are a couple of options. There's also wildflowers that bloom in the spring. So many, many choices. We have a publication on our extension site on gardening in the shade. And that has a plant list to start with. Also, our plant elements of design database. So those are both found on our extension site.
Which is?
extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab. Go to Yard and Garden.
Thanks, Brenda. Would you like to be called Cindy from now on? What do you think? Should we change your name?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Steve is calling from Monticello. Steve, you're on with, I was going to say Cindy, with Julie. Please.
Hi, Julie. I've got a quick Christmas cactus. I was wondering how often I should water that.
When it's very dry. So those like to dry out. We tend to overwater them. And when you do water it, make sure that it completely drains. So if it's in a secondary pot, put it in the sink, water it, make sure it drains, and then you can set it back in that secondary pot. But oftentimes people overwater those. So just make sure it drains well.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Michael is next on CCU. Michael, you're on with Julie.
Good morning. I have two miniature lilac bushes that have pretty much finished blooming, but they have overgrown in our backyard landscape area. And when is a time that I can trim them back and not damage the blooming for next year?
Yeah, now would be a good time. You want to usually prune them within a couple of weeks of blooming. I would not prune them today because it's going to be very hot and windy. But right. Yeah, when it cools down, you could do that now.
Okay, and then how much of a window of time? Like through the month of June, if I don't have opportunity, like next weekend type of thing?
Yeah, you could do it next weekend, sure.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Well, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right, very good. That line is open at 651-989-9226. Patty is calling from Minneapolis with a question. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about hydrangeas.
Sure.
I have lovely hydrangeas in the back, but I didn't cut them down. All I did was, you know, I deadhead them in the spring.
Right.
But I have a hydrangea in the front, which I did cut pretty way down. And that one is coming up blooming with buds. The ones in the back that I just deadheaded, nothing. I don't see any buds yet.
Are they all the same?
Yes. Well, I think so.
Okay. Well, if the one, you know, I wonder if you maybe prune them, maybe pruned off the flower buds. Would that be possible? Or did you prune
them pretty
early?
You know, I left them all winter and they were all, you know, brown and icky looking. And so I just took the heads off. But my real question is, next in the fall, if I don't get flowers on these, should I just cut them all the way down?
If it's the same kind as you have in the front yard and that's working, that would be probably advisable. Yeah, it'd be great to know which kind of hydrangea it is. Do you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. I had a company come put them in.
Sure.
But you think maybe when I took those deadheads off, I maybe took the buds off also.
Well, maybe you might have. It could also be as the sun differently. You have to look at the amount of light that the one in the backyard is getting versus the one in the front yard. Has the one in the front yard been watered more? Did you fertilize it? Did you not do that in the backyard?
No, I haven't done anything with
okay.
one in the,
okay.
in the front yard. So I guess maybe for next year, you know, in the fall, top branches, like I maybe did to the one in the front, see if that works. I can't remember what I did the year before, but last year they bloomed great, so whatever I did worked out.
Okay, so I would go back to what you did before.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, good. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807.
Nice.
As you know, Julie, we got some sad news a bit ago. We received a call from our friend, Dale Bachman, who's a friend of CCO's and
yeah,
a friend of CCO
friend of the
Land.
University of Minnesota.
Absolutely.
In horticultural science.
And a gentleman that we worked with, I did not hear this, and then Dale gave me the news that our friend and a longtime employee of Bachman's, Mike Hibbard, has passed away.
Oh,
and there's
sad.
Going to be a celebration of his life at Cross of Christ Community Church in Lakeville at 11 o'clock this morning. But we appreciate the information from Dale. And Dale's going to be, they're going to be planning something special at Bachman's itself. And we'll talk to Dale about that when that gets organized. But we thought a lot of folks have known mm-hmm. Mike Hibbard for a lot of the work he did, not only at Bachman's, on this station. He's taken CCO Good Neighbor tours as well holiday vacations. So we're sorry to tell you about the loss of Mike Hibbard. Thank you, Dale, for letting us know. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. It is sponsored by our good friends at By the Yard, who make the best patio furniture in the whole world down near Jordan, Minnesota. If you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is with us in studio. And as usual,
we have a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, both on the phone
yeah.
and my text. Should we get back to the phone?
Yeah,
what do you
let's
say?
Let's get moving.
All right, let's see who's been waiting. Mary Lou is calling from Crystal. Go ahead, Mary Lou.
Good morning. I have a question about peonies.
Sure.
And let's see, run through my list here. First of all, about fertilizing. I have composted cow manure that I've used, and I'm wondering if that is good.
Sure, that's great. Yep,
okay.
That's a great compost or great amendment.
And now they're not totally done, but they're almost done blooming.
Okay.
And I'm wondering about that little seed pod.
Yep.
Should I be cutting that off?
Yes, you should cut that off.
Okay. And then I also heard one time that I'm not supposed to cut flowers. I shouldn't cut any more than 2/3 of the bush. Because they need that for...
Oh, sure. No, you can cut the flowers. That's fine. You're not cutting very many leaves off, and that's the biggest area of photosynthesis.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I think the instruction with peonies, I just read an article, and I think it came from Bachman's, I think. But to only cut like two sets of leaves with every flower. Don't cut way down at the bottom of the stem. Yeah,
okay,
leave the bigger leaves.
I'm sorry. I noticed this year, especially with all the rain we had, that mine have gotten really tall.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I kind of like to keep them, you know, like a nice little sized bush. But I'm not sure if I should cut those stems back so that I can kind of make it rounded.
Not at this point.
Yeah. I've heard wait until fall on that.
Yeah. Wait until, and actually, I mean, it may be if the shrubs are getting really huge, it may be, you maybe need to divide them.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Mary Lou. 651-989-9226. If you'd rather send a text, 81807. Who is next here? Would be Bruce is calling from New Prague, Minnesota. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, I have mock orange. I've had them planted for 5 years. They've just bloomed for the first time this year.
Nice.
And I'm wondering, can I be trimming them back now, or should I just leave them go?
Leave them go. Let them go through their bloom cycle. And then
okay.
you can do some pruning after that.
Well, once they're done blooming, I can prune.
Then you can prune, yep.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And the other thing, the lady that asked about the rhubarb.
Yes.
Try putting potash around it. I used to work at a fertilizer plant, and that's what we used to do, and that seemed to help a lot.
So. Okay, so that's the third potash. Number. That's potassium or potash, you're correct. And so that's a possibility, too, yeah.
All right,
we do
deal.
Have a publication on rhubarb, growing rhubarb, and anybody with rhubarb questions. Somebody's texted a number of times saying that a bear has been seen in Roseville.
That was in the news.
And it was in the news, and that, you know, that might be the critter eating those leaves. It has to be a big animal.
But those leaves, you said, are kind of...
They're well, not... they have an acid in them yeah. that we can't eat them, but I don't know. Maybe the animals can digest it better.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an animal scientist.
All right. Could be a
And don't text in anymore
yes,
about
please,
the bear.
Forget it.
We got a lot to go through.
We don't have footprints or droppings yeah. or anything like that. All right. Ken is calling from Blaine, Minnesota, with a question. Go ahead, Ken.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a bur oak that we planted, I think it was early September last year, and amongst some other trees. But and it's about 10 to 12 feet tall.
Sure.
And this spring, the trees that we had planted, they all leafed out very well. But now on the bur oak, I noticed, Monday I was out looking at them and at the trees, and they looked fine. And then yesterday I noticed the bur oak has some yellow and brown leaves coming out. What could be the problem
okay.
there?
So is it profusely yellow and brown leaves, or is it just a few here and there?
Well, it's not the whole tree.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like, I don't know, I'm just concerned that it's a trend. I don't know.
Okay. I would just kind of keep an eye on it at this point. And if you do have a question about it, you can either send in a photo to Ask Extension and we can see if we can help you out, or mm-hmm. contact an arborist to come and take a look. And then they can assess all of your trees, too.
Could that be due to, like, the hot
could be the heat
recently
yeah.
with low moisture.
It could be that, yes. Yeah, and that's a great – thanks for mentioning that, because that's actually a great segue into being sure that everybody's watering their mature trees and their newly planted trees as well, especially with the dry mm-hmm. conditions we have and also the wind. This is not the day to be planting. It's best to wait, plant, you know, next week sometime. If you have annuals that you're waiting to plant or other plants, then set them in the shade, keep them cool, keep them watered. But, yeah, so that's a great – I'm glad, Ken, that you mentioned that, because that's really important, is watering our mature trees and, of course, the newly planted trees too. Two great publications on Extension. You can go to the Extension site, go to the Yard and Garden page, and it's called Water Wisely, and we have all sorts of information about watering lawns, gardens, and trees. And there's two excellent publications about watering established trees and watering newly planted trees with great guidance.
All right, we'll get back to the text messages in a moment, but Kim in Minneapolis has been waiting. Thank you, Kim. What's your question?
I have a question about peonies. When would be the best time to split them?
I am going to have to look that. I think they're best divided in the fall, either early spring or the fall.
Okay. I know there's some pretty good information from the previous caller, a couple things that I had asked or
oh,
I had
good.
Questions on too. So that
Great.
Answers some of those. All right. I will wait for this fall to do that.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Kim. Next, let's go to Maple Grove. I think Dave is there. Dave, you're on with Julie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Question about an endless summer hydrangea.
Okay.
Last year, it had about four blooms on it, and we've always cut it back. You know, every fall, cut the branches down to about 18 inches. This year, we just left them. Is it a, you know? Do we? I've kind of always understood that they bloom on old wood.
They bloom on both old and new wood. That's one of
okay.
their features.
Okay. So do I trim back some of those, or just keep an eye on them and see which ones are starting to get blooms and trim the other ones back?
I think I wouldn't do any more trimming. I would let the plant grow through the season.
Okay.
And then I'm just looking at we have a good website on Endless Summer from Bailey Nurseries. They're
okay.
the releaser, I believe, of Endless Summer, and they have information on the unblooming, and that might be helpful to look at. There's also an article that we wrote, it was a couple of years ago now, on our Yard and Garden page about hydrangea, and particularly Endless Summer, because it is
yeah.
it is something that is somewhat of a challenge for
yeah.
Minnesota gardeners to get that to rebloom. So
yeah, yeah. Does the adding the sulfur to the soil to get the blue color help at all?
That helps, but that helps more for that to change the pH
yep.
temporarily
yep.
so that you get that bluer color. Actually, it's not the sulfur as much as it is aluminum sulfate. So there's
uh-huh.
a elemental sulfur, and then there's aluminum sulfate. And aluminum sulfate is what turns it blue.
Okay, great. So. I really appreciate it. I love you guys' show.
We listen to it
every Saturday. So
thank you, Dave.
Awesome.
Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. 79 degrees is our Twin City temperature, and we're going for about 95 or so, Julie, and I think your point is well taken. But don't plant stuff today.
Yeah, probably just wait. The wind is particularly the issue because it really will desiccate and dry out anything you put in the ground.
That's for sure.
So just hold off. It's a good day to sit in the shade with a cool drink.
Yeah, in that by-the-yard furniture.
In the by-the-yard furniture, yes, okay. If you got that. Yeah.
Valerie in Ham.
You do.
I do. I love it. Valerie in Ham Lake is next on CSU. Go ahead, Valerie.
I planted some hedgehog bushes this year, and now I think I may have burnt them watering because the tops of them are all brown. And I'm just wondering if I can actually revive those plants.
I do not know what a hedgehog bush is. Never heard that. Do you know the actual?
I think it's like a borate.
Okay.
Hmm.
Boy. Well, if you think you burnt them watering them.
I don't know. It's just the tops of them are all brown. And I planted other evergreens that same day, and they're not having the same situation.
Okay.
I'm kind of wondering what I may have done to them. They're a smaller evergreen bush.
Okay. So they may be, have you watered them pretty religiously?
I have. I've been watering them a lot. I've been watering once to twice a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
The hot, dry weather, it could be spider mite issues. If you spray them with water and you see a fine webbing, it could be spider mites because that will cause a browning, and particularly on the needles. If it's been in very, very hot, hot sun, it could be a little bit of burning or dryness, though you've been watering it. But I'm guessing it's probably maybe spider mites. So maybe take a closer look at that. And if you can get a photo of it, you can send that to Ask Extension.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do that. And as we head to the break, how about the extension site?
Extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden. And if you scroll down, you'll come to Ask Extension, and that's where you can contact us in a number of different ways.
Now, for those that are regular listeners, know that Julie is a musician extraordinaire as well.
I don't know. I've been kind of gardening a lot this spring.
But that's therapy, though.
Yeah. Sometimes.
When are the Abiders going to be playing that?
We're actually playing tonight out at Lupine Brewing in Delano. And we start at 7:30, play till 10:30. And kind of an offshoot band called the Roadside Distractions that I'm in. We're playing at the Arboretum tomorrow and Music in the Garden to support the Arboretum.
What time?
So we start at 1 o'clock and we'll be at the Ordway Picnic Shelter, weather permitting.
All right.
Yeah, excellent. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Both
of them will.
Stay cool. All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. You want to pick up on some text messages?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it.
Well, let's get
Oh, you know,
Bev
in Roseville.
Bev's been waiting here.
Let's get Bev's call taken care of. Hi, Bev.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Hold on just a second.
Do, 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 do,
sorry about that.
That's all right.
I have a cabin up north, some irises that were planted between two trees, and they were doing great. And then I thought I wanted to add some color a little bit later in the year, so I added some daylilies. And now the irises are not blooming. Do those two not get along well?
Nope, they're fine together.
Okay. So is there some fertilizer or something that I need for the irises?
Well, if it's up north, if it's sandy soil,
yeah,
that can be, you probably need to add in some, did you add compost or mix anything in when you planted them?
I didn't plant them. They were there when we got there.
Oh, okay.
So
but
I
you planted
really
the lilies.
Done anything to them, yeah.
But you planted the lilies now.
Correct.
No, they should be, you know, they should be fine. It could, did they bud out the flowers?
They haven't for a couple of years.
Okay. It may be too shady if they're under trees.
Okay.
Are they under evergreens or are they under deciduous trees or a mixture?
Deciduous.
Okay. So it might be, it might be too shady for those plants. Those are full sun plants.
Oh,
and okay. And they should be planted in full sun. So that's my guess. If the plant is otherwise healthy, I would say that's the issue.
Okay. Thank you, Bev, for waiting. You want to grab some text messages?
Okay, let's see. Somebody's asking. We got a couple people. Let's see. Jeff in Maple Grove's asking about spider mites fatal on their trees. It can. It's not fatal, but spider mites can knock a tree down. It can actually, you know, it's feeding on the foliage. You'll want to do something you can spray them. You can also wait it out and see if they're big, mature, healthy trees, and you know, they might succumb to a little bit of damage from spider mites. But take a look at that. And they are notoriously hot, dry weather insects. So once we get some rain, you'll probably see that population go down a little bit. Autumn blaze maple has black spots on leaves. I did send a picture to the Extension Center. They said it was because of too much moisture. It could be anthracnose. The best way, you know, best thing to do is have that diagnosed by a certified arborist, have someone come and take a look at that. But anthracnose is in our environment. It's not necessarily a fatal disease. There's really nothing to do about it. So if there's some other reason, you could certainly have someone come and take a look at that.
So it's not fatal.
It's not necessarily fatal. Okay. It can stress a tree, but it's not necessarily fatal. And there's nothing to spray or anything to do. Is it a typical characteristic for Siberian irises to lose their proud, upright posture after transplanting? Mine collapse outward within 1 to 2 years of splitting. It can be. Also, if the soil is very, very rich, or if it's too wet, or if they can actually collapse and just kind of fall down after they bloom. That's happened before. You can put a ring around them that will be hidden somewhat by the foliage if you want to keep that upright form. Let's see. That's a question for the next show. I don't know about fascia board. Pruning lilacs now. It's getting a little bit late for pruning lilacs. If it's been a couple of weeks since they've bloomed, then yes, you could. You can prune them, but you might lose some of the flower buds. So just take that into mind. Violets in your lawn. That's a broadleaf weed. There's a great publication on lawn weeds and diseases on our extension site, which is extension.umn.edu. Go to the lawn and garden and you can find violets under that. Still plant today? Nope, I'd hold off. Rabbits are taking over. Something to do to deter them from hostas and flowers? A good fence. Sometimes Milorganite has been helpful in deterring them, or some other kind of repellent. Uh-oh, you shut off the screen, Denny. You can't see this.
I did?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-oh.
I must have bumped it somehow.
Well, let's see. What else can we talk about?
Let's see. Dude,
there we go.
It is. We're back.
Oh, funny. Keeping geese off lawns. The best thing to do is actually plant, say, if they're coming in off of a lake, plant a buffer between your lake shore and your lawn. It will help to minimize any runoff into the lake as well. Plus, the geese won't walk through about a 6-foot buffer or so.
They won't.
They're scared, yeah, because they're hidden. They can't see then. So that's one thing to do. Too many people have lawns that go all the way down to their shoreline, and then they complain about geese. And the best thing to do is to plant that buffer. It's safer for the lake.
We're done. We're out of time.
Okay.
All right.
And asparagus, go to the website.
Okay, which is?
extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab. In the case of asparagus, go to vegetables. You'll see a publication on that.
Thank you, Julie. We'll see you down the road. Stay cool.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Right, very good.
Bye-bye.